one of my friends made it up. Anyways, we see Christ through the book of Ruth this morning. Okay? Yeah, please stand up and sing him, Jesus Loves Me. Opportunity that we gather together here to worship you. We want to praise your name and your love. Father God, thank you for the unchanging word of God, which is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you that we can find your promises, lessons, guidance, and truth in your Holy Bible. Thank you for leaving your word here on earth for us, so that with the help of your Holy Spirit, we may understand and hear how you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Yeah, today's topic is the Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth is one of only two books to be named after women. The other is Esther. Even though it's small, it has just four chapters, but this remarkable book contains many principles with a profound impact to our lives today. To start off, I would suggest that you watch this video clip. It's a short watching and will only take you about 7 minutes, but it will give you a good overview of the Book of Ruth.
It's a brilliant work of theological art, and it invites us to reflect on the question of how God is involved in the day-to-day joys and hardships of our lives. There are three main characters in the book: Naomi the widow, Ruth the Moabite, and Boaz the Israelite farmer. And their story is told in four chapters that are beautifully designed. Let's just dive in and see how this all unfolds. Chapter 1 opens with this line: in the days when the judges rule. And it reminds us of the very dark and difficult days from the book of Judges. And here we meet an Israelite family in Bethlehem, struggling to survive through a famine. And so in search of food, they move on to the land of Moab, Israel's ancient enemy. And there the father of the family dies, and the sons marry two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And then the sons, they die too. And so they leave only Naomi and these new daughters-in-law. And so Naomi, she has no reason to stay anymore. And so she tells her new daughters-in-law that she's moving. And Naomi, she knows that the life of an unmarried foreign widow in Israel is going to be very hard, and so she compels the women to stay behind. Orpah agrees, but Ruth does not. She shows remarkable loyalty to Naomi, and she says, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your people will become my people, and your God will become my God. And so the two of them return to Israel together. And the chapter concludes with Naomi changing her name Mara, which means bitter in Hebrew, and she laments her tragic fate. Chapter 2 begins with Naomi and Ruth discussing where they're going to find food, and it just so happens to be the beginning of the barley harvest. And so Ruth goes out to look for food, and it just so happens that she ends up picking grain in the field of a man named Boaz, who just so happens to be Naomi's relative. We're told that Boaz is a man of noble character, and he notices Ruth. And so after finding out more about her story, he shows remarkable generosity to her. He makes these special provisions so that the immigrant Ruth can gather grain in his field. And in doing so, Boaz is actually obeying an explicit command of the Torah to show generosity to the immigrant and the poor. Boaz is so impressed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi. He prays for her that God will reward her for her boldness. So Ruth comes home that day. And Naomi finds out that she met Boaz, and she is thrilled. She says Boaz is their family redeemer. Now, this family redeemer thing, this was a cultural practice in Israel, where if a man in the family died and he left behind a wife or children or land, it was the family redeemer's responsibility to marry that widow, to take up the land and protect that family. So Naomi, she begins to hope that perhaps there might still be a future for her family. Chapter 3 begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan to get Boaz to notice their situation. So Ruth is going to stop wearing clothes of a grieving widow, and she's going to show signs that she's available to be married. And so Ruth goes to meet Boaz on the farm that night. And as she approaches, Boaz wakes up, and he's totally startled. And Ruth makes her intentions very clear. She asks if Boaz will redeem Naomi's family and marry her. Boaz is once again amazed by Ruth's loyalty to Naomi and her family. And he calls Ruth a woman of noble character. It's the same term used to describe the woman in Proverbs 31. So Boaz tells Ruth to wait until the next day, and he will redeem both Ruth and Naomi legally before the town elders. And so the chapter ends with Ruth returning to Naomi, and they marvel together at all of these recent events. In chapter 4, it all comes together. It turns out, at the last minute, Boaz discovers there is a family member who's closer to Naomi than he is, and he's actually eligible before him to redeem the family. But at the last second, this family member finds out that he's going to have to marry Ruth, the Moabite, and so he declines. But Boaz, remember, he knows Ruth's true character, and so he acquires the family property of Naomi, and he marries Ruth. And so just at the beginning, how Ruth was loyal to Naomi's family, so now Boaz is loyal Naomi's family as well. The story concludes with a reversal of all of the tragedies from chapter 1. So the death of the husband and the sons is reversed as Ruth is married again and gives birth to a new son, granting joy to Naomi. And this symmetry between the opening and the closing, it's even more remarkable. So remember, the opening tragedy was followed by a great act of loyalty on the part of Ruth. And that is now matched by Boaz's act of loyalty that leads to the family's final restoration. And this symmetry, it highlights the design of internal chapters as well. So each of the chapters begins with Naomi and Ruth making a plan for their future, and that's followed by a providential meeting between Ruth and Boaz, and each chapter concludes with Naomi and Ruth rejoicing at what's taken place. This story is beautifully designed, and that design actually connects with a really interesting feature of the story, and that's how little God is mentioned. Right? The characters talk about God a few times, but the narrator actually never once mentions God doing anything directly in the story, and that's its brilliance. Because God's providence is at work in every scene of this story, weaving together the circumstances and choices of all these characters. So Naomi, her tragedy leads her to think that God is punishing her, but actually the whole story is about God's mission to restore her and her family. And he's doing so through Ruth, through her boldness and loyalty, which brings healing to Naomi's life, but not without Boaz, who's a no-nonsense farmer who's full of generosity and loyalty. And so God uses his integrity combined with Ruth's boldness to save Naomi and her family. And so this story brilliantly explores the interplay of God's purposes and will with human decision and will. God weaves together the faithful obedience of his people to bring about his redemptive purposes in the world. And that leads to the real end of the story. The book of Ruth concludes with a genealogy, showing how Boaz and Ruth's son, Obed, was the grandfather of King David, from whom came the lineage of the Messiah. And so all of a sudden, these seemingly mundane, ordinary events in this story are woven into God's grand story of redemption for the whole world. And so the book of Ruth invites us to consider how God might be at work in the very ordinary, mundane details of our lives as well. And that's what the book of Ruth is all about.
I might have to restart it.
Okay, let me take a look at some more topics of Ruth. Next one?
It's not. Hang on. Give me a minute.
The purpose of Ruth is to illustrate covenant faithfulness in David's ancestors, both Ruth and Boaz, as one demonstration of the legitimacy of his kingship. In telling the story, we engage some very important legal protections for the poor. The story is told through the lens of covenant and law. Deuteronomy Chapter 15, verse 4 and 5 contains the requirements. The same when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. Covenant faithfulness in the land produces crops enough to feed poor and the widows who are exposed to poverty. The covenant community is to provide for the poor. We have some specific on how that is to happen through the gleaning law in Leviticus chapter 19. Boaz instructs those who work in fields not only just to leave what they missed, but also leave more. Again, Boaz is exemplary it goes beyond the requirements of the law. Let me read the chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the kernels of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. We see in Ruth chapter 2 and 3 an emphasis on gleaning as a way to provide for Naomi and Ruth. If we want to understand covenant faithfulness more, we need to look at Hesed. Hesed is a Hebrew language which is used 245 times in Old Testament. We can find Hesed 3 times in Ruth. It has been translated into kindness. So in Ruth chapter 1 verse 8, and it said, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly, this is Hesed, kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the deed and with me. And also chapter 2, verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left of his kindness, here is Hesed, to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And lastly, the chapter 3, verse 10, we have Hesed. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness here, in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Hesed is not just kindness. It requires sacrifice and difficulty. In fact, Hesed has been translated love 187 times out of 245 in Old Testament. Also, Hesed has been translated to agape in Greek. We are familiar with agape love, right? We can find that Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz practice Hesed. And we can see God's Hesed as we read over the great story of Ruth. While I was looking at the article about Ruth, I saw the article by Chris Russell, who is pastoring in Cincinnati. He gave 5 important applications. I would like to introduce them with some of my comments. Yeah, here they are. The first, God is concerned about all people, regardless of race, nationality, or status. Ruth was not a Jew. She was a Moabite. Even though many discriminated against her, God loved her just the same. God does not discriminate, and he loves all people just the same. In my case, I had never thought about my race, nationality, or status when I was in South Korea. But here, now, that's a big deal for me. I'm so happy for you. I thank you for loving me and my family. Also, Ingi, he loves us. And with the heart of hesed you are, but occasionally outside I experience rudeness, not hesed, outside. So whenever I do, I think of two things. The first, even if some people insult me, God is in me all the time with hesed, kindness, love, mercy, steadfast love. The second, even if some people insult me, I show hesed to them. For there is God's will to change the world through me. I believe that. So honestly saying, it's not easy. I often fail it. Jenny knows that. But I keep trying. Heavenly Father knows that. The second application. Men and women are both equally important to God. God cares about men and women all the same. We are all one in His eyes. Why most of faith religions that have been constructed over the centuries often elevate men and dishonor women? Christianity is the one religion that consistently honors men and women at the same level. There's no difference in His eyes. That's why God prepared Boaz for Ruth and Ruth for Boaz. They were for each other. Three, there's no such thing as an important person in God's eyes. At a surface level, few saw Ruth as an important person. She was from Moab, which was a nation that originated from an incestuous encounter between Lot and his daughters. She was a poor widow. She was living in a foreign land away from her birth family. But God saw her as important as, and His plan for her life culminated in her becoming a part of the lineage of Jesus as grandmother to King David. God's plan typically involves using people who are considered to be undergoes or unimportant or unimpressive from man's perspective. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You need to take this application when you did not make it. The world appreciates what you have, but the eyes of God are as you are. The four, that God uses little things to accomplish great plans. What an amazing plan God had for a series of little things that all added up to important pieces in God's big plan. God intended for Ruth to be a part of the story of the lineage of Jesus. So He pulled together events such as famine, Naomi's relocation to Moab, their return to Bethlehem, Boaz's bloodline, and many other events, just to ensure that Ruth could be a part of His plan. And God does the same thing in our lives. So I want to challenge you to write a diary or just a memo. Someday, you will see how God used the little things to accomplish great plans for His glory. That's the fifth one. God has a Redeemer in place who can rescue us from the devastation of our own sin. God has a Redeemer for our lives too, and his name is Jesus. Boaz was a type of Christ and his redemptive work in our lives today. You see, we are all desolate as a result of our sinful natures. We are empty, just as Naomi was empty and devastated after she had lost everything and returned to Judah. Our sin has rendered us empty and desolate spiritually. But Jesus is willing to redeem us. He wants us, rescue us from the penalty of our sin, and he wants change our life. Do you remember we got a new middle name, Mark, last Sunday? So we have no ability to do hesed. Jesus has perfect hesed. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Ask and follow Jesus to spread hesed. As Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So, any comments, any thought about Ruth or anything?
Listening to your talk on Ruth, I am reminded of God's graciousness to us. Mm-hmm. In the fact that if we knew anything about Moab, mm-hmm. they were a wicked and evil people.
Yeah.
And yet, when Ruth is born, God decides that he is going to save her and does just what you said, sets things in motion, and not only redeems her, but does it in such a fantastic way, and it becomes a prophetic story. Because if you read Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about that God has broken down the wall that separates Gentiles and Jews and has created one new man. And that's what happens with Boaz and Ruth. This Moabite evil person God decides to save takes her to Israel, puts her together with Boaz, and according to the scriptures, when a man and a woman come together, they become something new. And from that new thing comes the line of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing prophetic story. And I'm wondering now if when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 2, if he was thinking about Ruth and Boaz.
Yeah, thank you.
Thinking about it, you kind of have to wonder about the culture in that day.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Moabite woman marrying a Hebrew man.
Yeah.
And they weren't supposed to marry outside their faith. So I'm guessing that there was probably a social stigma attached to Ruth at the time,
mm-hmm.
but it made her a stronger woman.
Yeah.
To come through that. You don't hear about it in the story. But if you look at the history of that time, they must have had their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was a lot of backbiting, just like there is today. You know? So it's a message of strength under stress.
Anyone else? not only the old lady.
Everybody says it.
Yeah, this was it.
Okay. But she's marrying the young lady, but she comes from the other country. Mm-hmm. And Boaz is redeeming her or her mother-in-law. Because in order to redeem somebody,
mm-hmm.
you have to be a kindred, and you have to marry them, and you also redeem the land and everything in the past. Ooh. But the young lady didn't have anything there. The older lady did. So,
mm-hmm.
is he redeeming the young lady, or the older lady getting redeemed at the same time that?
Actually, Naomi was Ammon in the Judah, actually. So she had an inheritance from ancestors.
From being married to the husband that she lost.
Yeah, Abimelech, yeah, actually, yeah.
So
Boaz, recovered, their land.
Through the marriage that her husband died away?
By Boaz, got married to Ruth.
Okay.
That means Boaz recovered, Naomi's, the land.
Okay, but Naomi got that from getting married to the young fellow that died.
Naomi?
Naomi is the mother.
Yeah. Naomi's the mother.
And she's Jewish and has married a Jewish man. They have gone to Moab and her husband dies.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Ruth marries one of Naomi's sons.
And he died.
And he dies. But she is now part of Naomi's family because of that marriage.
Okay, that's
confusing. So when she comes back to Israel, Boaz is redeeming both of them because they are both of the same family.
Okay. So it actually happened because she married somebody.
Thank you.
In addition to that, he married her. He married the younger woman, not the woman that was his age, but
mm-hmm.
a woman young enough to be his daughter.
And that was
part of why Naomi said she was thankful that Ruth wasn't going for a man younger or older.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knew she would be more likely to be drawn to a younger man, but yet
mm-hmm.
Boaz was the one she was giving herself to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there, when he did that to give her a child.
Yeah.
Hopefully a male child who would inherit and therefore keep the all the property and the land that belonged to in the family. He was preserving that for her.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your hesed in our heart. We long to have a true heart that give hesed, agape love, to our family, friends, and neighbor. Please help us to mark you, Jesus Christ. May our lives reflect your glory. Thank you for what you already have given and for what you have promised to provide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.